Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the audio teaching sermon series, message number 40. Pastor Jefferson here with you today, and I will be continuing with our discussion regarding the 10 virgins, as mentioned by Jesus in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Recall, the 10 virgins represent the true followers of Christ, with the number 10 holding the significance that these virgins represent his true and complete church at the time approaching the end of the age of Adam. Each virgin is holding a lamp, representing their accumulation of Holy Spirit-driven knowledge as taught by Jesus himself. Remember, the virgins each took firm hold of the true knowledge of Scripture and exercised their free will to leave the congregation wherever they were, making a conscious choice to pursue the unfiltered meaning of God's word, which is equivalent of going out and meeting the bridegroom, who we know is Jesus. This decision on their part was made via a firm resolution to seek the truth directly, the truth being the person of Jesus, and can be seen as a departure from the usual crowd that fills the pews on Sunday morning. This exodus or withdrawal can be viewed as an escape from the constraints of exposure to false religion filled with Christian mythology. Recall in Luke chapter 11, verse 46, where Jesus said the clergy of his time sought to bind the people with heavy burdens. Also recall from Matthew 24, where Jesus said it would be the same in the time nearing his return, when many false prophets would arise in that time. Which brings me to a point. How many false words does a pastor need to preach in order to have God deem them to be a false preacher? When we examine the story of Cain bringing his offering before the Lord, we're never told why it was not acceptable to Yahweh, only that it was. Abel took the time and went through all the right motions, and his offering was accepted. I feel quite certain that Cain attempted to replicate what Abel did, but Cain was unsuccessful, and his offering was rejected by Yahweh. Cain's failure was found not in the offering itself. I've heard it said Cain's offering was rejected because it lacked the characteristic of being an animal or blood sacrifice. The fact remains that it was not because his offering was fruit or grain, that being defined as produce from the ground. The Hebrew temple regularly took in crops as grain offerings, so that is not a true statement. Back in sermon number 33, we showed the word used in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, telling us that God did not respect Cain's offering, was sha'ah, which translates to gaze at without respect, to not have regard for, or to look upon with favor. It was not what Cain brought before the Lord, but rather how he delivered it. It was something with his attitude which demonstrated a lack of respect being displayed before the Lord. That's why Cain's offering was not looked upon with favor. Cain was somehow in non-compliance. With that thought in mind, now go and open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 2. It reads from the Greek, "Now five of them were foolish and five wise." The verse is still speaking of the 10 virgins. The word used for five is penta, and means the numerical value of five. It is seen in both thoughts of the verse and reflects the completeness of the division of halves. The word we see for foolish in thought one is morai. The word translates to dull, stupid, or absurd. It is where we get our words moron and moronic from. This word is seen three times in Scripture, and each time it is associated with these same foolish virgins. In this case, God is telling us these persons are mentally inert, as dull in understanding. They are lacking a firm grip on the reality of their situation. This word describes people who are spiritually deficient, lacking godly insight and prudence. The original use of the word moron was a medical term used to describe the mental state of an individual exhibiting a lack of good sense, judgment, or discernment. I submit to you that I would describe anyone who enrolls in a discipleship training program and then who doesn't apply themselves to finish the course as exhibiting absurd behavior. By willingly allowing themselves to fall short of the goal of obtaining eternal salvation, they then fit firmly into the biblical definition of being a foolish virgin. Stop for a moment and consider. These virgins, having witnessed the false teaching taking place within their previous congregations, and elected to abandon those flocks for the purpose of escaping an environment filled with the preaching of Christian mythology, only to what? Take a detour or pause from along that path leading to holiness? I ask, for what possible reason could there be? The truth is, there are as many reasons as there are people. I'm sure Cain offered his excuses before the Lord to justify his rejected offering. Look now at the word in thought two for wise. The word we see here is phrominoi, and it translates to prudent, intelligent, and sensible. The Greek dictionary uses the word sagacious, which means having keen and far-sighted perception. Such people are the ones who exhibit a level of acute discernment. Today, we describe such folks as being incredibly savvy. They are the ones who see the world for how it really is. This is how Jesus describes the five wise virgins in Matthew, who managed to stay the course in a very turbulent time. Look now at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 3. It reads, "When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't obtain sufficient olive oil to bring with them." In thought one, we see the foolish virgins took their lamps with them to go and prepare to meet the bridegroom. We see the second use of the Greek word for took here, labousei, meaning to take an active and firm grip on the lamp, as we discussed in the last message. This is another way of saying they had enough spiritual knowledge to know that the bridegroom was indeed coming. It also means they knew the lamps were required in order to be able to meet and properly greet the bridegroom. They had that much going for them. We read the bad news in thought two. The foolish virgins didn't obtain sufficient olive oil to bring along with them. The word for obtain sufficient is elabon, and means to receive, to firmly take, or to lay hold of. This word is related to the word I just mentioned, labousei, as it shares the same root. So while the foolish virgins have some oil in their lamp, Jesus is telling us in the parable that they didn't bring enough. This explains why they are being described as foolish. Look now at verse 4. "But the wise virgins took extra olive oil in the vessels along with their lamps." The word we see for olive oil in thought one is elaion, and translates to mean olive oil from the olive tree. This word is used 6 times and is discussing the same kind of oil each time. There was no wide-scale use of petroleum products back then. And while there were other sources of oil in ancient times, the Bible here is speaking specifically of olive oil. Figuratively, olive oil always stands for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The olive tree represents the nation of Israel, which bore Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We know this particular oil was extra, as we see in thought two that it was not contained within the lamps, but rather in an additional vessel. The word we see here for vessel is angeios, and it means a jar, a container, or a flask. And we read in thought three that this flask was brought in addition to the oil as contained within their lamps. Keep this in mind. Jesus is using a parable and the associated symbolic language to convey critical concepts. As such, Christians do not possess nor require an extra vessel containing oil. The extra vessel is a fictitious part of the story. All of our learning and knowledge is contained within the symbolic lamp holding the olive oil provided to us by the Holy Spirit. The total fits easily within the confines of our mind. We don't receive a bigger brain or anything like that. The point to be taken can be made with a simple question. When you pack for a distant and lengthy trip, do you begin loading your suitcase within the last few minutes before leaving the house? If you do, you likely miss bringing many of the more critical items needed on the vacation. Or, when preparing to attend a most important meeting, do you leave for the appointment at the last possible second? I asked a similar question back in message number 38 about missing a train, a plane, or a bus. Whose fault does the improper preparation lie? I like to equate Discipleship Training 101 with a college-level course. How does one best make ready for taking the final exam? Do you put in the extra time and careful study and review, safeguarding the fact that you have indeed mastered the material? Or do you just walk into the exam room, blindly relying on the material as it was presented in the classroom? With something as important as our eternal salvation, one would think that those studying the gospel would leave nothing to chance. This would especially be true when facing the end of the age during the middle of the tribulation, when sufficient prophetic scripture had been fulfilled to remove 100% of all doubt about where one was on the prophetic timescale. Look now at verse 5, where Jesus says in the New American Standard Bible, "Now, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all got drowsy and began to sleep." I chose to use this common translation as this original verse is composed of three words only used one time in Scripture. You will, within a few moments, see the dramatic change in meaning once we break those three Greek words down. In thought one, we see the words "was delayed." The single use of the Greek word is chronosentos and means to delay for a long while or to linger for a prolonged time. The Greek dictionary uses the word tarry in place of was delayed, which isn't really used anymore. But the word linger means to have a period of time pass very slowly. The one-time use of this word is telling us that in the minds of the waiting virgins, the time spent waiting for the Savior is agonizingly slow. In thought two, we see the words, "they all got drowsy." In the Greek, we see just one word, anistaxen, and here it literally means to be caught napping. The meaning of this word is equivalent to being careless and negligent. Negligent is defined to mean failure to exercise the care expected of a reasonably prudent person in like circumstances. Folks, Jesus is describing the creme de la creme of his church here. The sensation that time is passing more or less quickly depends on the context and our emotional state. We find that time passes slowly when we are bored or sad, and quickly when we are happy or doing something we enjoy or find interesting. We don't have much to compare this time of Matthew chapter 24 with our current experiences. Perhaps the closest event I have been witness to was when COVID-19 was raging. Jesus is speaking here of his disciples being negligent with their training and building a relationship with him. They are instead focused on all the rumors of this and that happening than they are with focusing on doing Yahweh's work. It seems the church as a whole will be ignoring Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, where we are advised to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We know this is going to be true based on what we find in thought three. The Bible says they began to sleep. The Greek word for began to sleep is ekathoudon. It's used only once, and in the minority of the definition of the word, it translates to yield to sloth and sin and to become indifferent to one's salvation. Can you see how these three words all complement each other in their associated definitions? Here is where God's selection of languages having a large vocabulary helps us see what Jesus is attempting to teach us. Let's now rewrite verse 5 using our newfound definitions. Now, while waiting for the bridegroom was boring and agonizingly slow, the virgins all became complacent, neglecting their relationship with Jesus, and instead began to yield to sloth and sin, exhibiting indifference to their salvation. Wow, what an indirect rebuke! But folks, this prophetic warning is in reality no different than what God told to Cain. It was Cain's indifference which caused Yahweh to reject his offering. When we treat or take Jesus lightly, we are committing the same sin. Do you happen to see the similarity between the details of Cain and Abel and the 10 virgins? One half of the two brothers, Abel, brought an acceptable offering before the Lord. Abel is representative of the 5 wise virgins. He did what God required. The other brother, Cain, represents the 5 foolish virgins who, as you will soon see, fail to do what God requires. Cain was warned when God said, "Hey, don't you know that doing right will result in your life being elevated and you being exalted in my eyes?" Jesus, via the parable, is telling the believers entering the final years of the age of Adam the exact same thing. Their life being elevated is another prophecy for the rapture, just like with the ascension of Jesus 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. Those members of the true church, as represented by the 5 wise virgins, will be taken upward to heaven 40 days after the Antichrist fakes his own resurrection from the dead. These virgins will be taken because by their discipleship, they will have been exalted in the eyes of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. So what then is required of the foolish virgins which they didn't do? The purpose of these audio sermons is where you can find the answer to that question. Our offering we bring before God the Father is our sincerely driven effort to establish a firm and intimate relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Failing our success in doing that, our offering, if you will indeed be rejected. There is no other way. Now, I've made available on the DWJDMinistries.com website, Volume 1, containing the transcripts of the first 30 audio sermons. I've also included a summary sheet showing all the verses, the Greek and Hebrew words used, along with their definitions. It is an excellent study guide for each teaching sermon. Order yours today. The price reflects everything, including shipping, right to your door. We will continue this discussion in the next sermon. So until next time, my beloved, this has been Pastor Jefferson speaking in God's holy name and for His glory alone. Amen.